Beautiful audience, I told you that this Sunday I'm in the studio with Cross Calvary on the Ex-Convict Diary program, and I'm sure you are there waiting to hear stories of on this program, and I'm very excited to have Mr. Cross in the studio today. Maybe from the beginning here, Mr. Cross, welcome in the studio, and feel free. The audience on board waiting to hear from you. Maybe from the beginning, we just want you to greet the audience and just briefly explain yourself, or probably just introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Pele and the Controller.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to also thank Eagle FM for this opportunity. It's really something that has been needed.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Not to say it has been missing, but it has been needed. And I believe the community will look at humanity, will look at ex-convicts. The community will look at us in a much different way. So thank you very much to all the listeners. My name is Cross Calvary Lilenge.
Mm-hmm.
As it was mentioned, I am an ex-convict.
Mm-hmm.
I was convicted for a case of robbery.
Mm-hmm.
I am a member of the Second Chance Foundation, mm-hmm. where I really found so much strength and also an opportunity to impact other people's lives, especially young people, but maybe I'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an unemployed graduate. I graduated in 2020, mm-hmm. that's human resource management.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm also a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man of God. I would say I'm a good person.
All right. Mr. Cross, while you are there, yes, you have mentioned that you are an ex-convict and you wanted to go into details of what, the crime that you were convicted for and whatnot. Maybe while we are still there, can you take us back to your life before incarceration? Maybe just to briefly explain to the audience of what crime led you to conviction and how long you served in the correctional facility, which correctional facility were you in? And yeah, can you just maybe briefly explain to us?
Okay. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very open about my past. Mm-hmm. Now there's nothing that I hide, because I've changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I will not really say everything I used to do. I used to do it because I want.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I believe my story can help somebody, it can encourage somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, to take you back a little bit, in 2017, after so many things that have been going on in my life, I enrolled at IUM on the Diva campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first year.
Hmm.
And then 2018 was my second year.
Mm.
Now, because of, you know, life pressure, and I come from a very humble house.
Mm.
My mother, who has raised me as a single parent, she tried to give me food, shelter, and all the basic needs. But as a young man, I was not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And I engaged myself in wrong friends.
Mm.
And this is what led me to drinking, smoking, because of peer pressure now.
Mm.
And I can really, really say that lifestyle, if you are the type of person who likes grooving or like going to clubs or going to parties or drinking or smoking, then you will end up in incarceration.
Mm.
That's not what it means, but it has a high chance. Mm-hmm. It was the main cause.
Mm.
So before then, I used to drink, I used to smoke, and then I wanted now to also get me income to sustain my lifestyle. And this income, I did not have a job, I was still a student,
mm.
and my family member cannot finance this lifestyle.
Mm.
So I started doing petty crimes, like I would lie to maybe my family member that I have to buy this, I have to do submit this and whatnot. Sometimes I'll go to shops and then I'll steal, like shoplifting, they're just to fit in.
Mm, mm.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's now what, that's a bit of my past, or like a bit of taking you back
mm-hmm.
before incarceration,
mm-hmm.
and then also just explaining what led me to conviction.
Okay.
Now,
mm-hmm.
on one specific day,
mm-hmm.
this is now when you ask of what led me to my conviction.
Like, what exactly did you do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So on one specific day, I went out drinking as usual, and I stayed up late.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was one guy that I had been on Ghana, I moko groba mono yene ki alandi for epangwe. And then we went, we smoked, we were high. That to chikirenga le turi me ningo mono. She won't get the poor Mukati Kusikula man like P3 Gandhi kids the kids were lecture Anji.
Yeah.
Lecture Anji and Dakara Lendi Pope Pina Shashi, like and the Sushi Mariamos. My friend, I'm going to go to the house. Gandhi to Ponko, Timonoshukan and Arendra pay 4 or 5. Gandhi to Ponko, and the woman, thank you, wrong, and they are at your lock and chat. And this is a picture on that, Mona Shiki.
Let me hold you there. So meaning you stayed out late in the bar until 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
All right.
And then I grabbed that lady and did Turamo chops, considering the channel on the day with a penny. And then you clock and jatokai and the time can be fab cup. So then the fab gap on gao. I pleaded guilty when I went to court, and they gave me 3 years. When they gave me 3 years, they gave me an opportunity.
So let me hold you there, Cross. So when you went to court, so the police officers are the ones that advised you to plead guilty?
Yes. Okay. I was guilty, personally, I was guilty. But the police officers... also advised me that I must plead guilty.
Okay.
That was the only way
Okay.
And stuff like that. Shashi or Shawai Modorongo or Shawai Lumbera Lumbera or Shoswana Money and Nanumba Yamo or Lunjimo. Why I will put on my Omandina de Okucha? I or take a young day to tea, people at Tanazo. Tacuma was storing to Wapumuka Popoko.
Yeah.
And that's why a policymaker in a like they are inviting me not to listen to the people in there. But to actually play guilty. I was given 3 years, and then I pleaded to the judge because I was still a student, and somehow I was the only one at home who could support my mom. But when it comes to chores, and I had a little girl at home, my child. She was also young, so I gave the reasons why I wanted them to reduce the sentence, and then it came to 18 months, which I said.
So they reduced from 3 years to 18 months.
From 3 years to 18 months.
Okay.
And then I went to Olulo Correctional Facility and. That's where I served my sentence. And I would say, because naturally, I'm not that type of person really that would just wake up and say, I'm going to rob or I'm going to steal. But I used to do these things when I'm under the influence. So and then I was released on parole.
Okay.
So I only served 14 months. And then they took the 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. While we are still there, Cross, maybe you can also share with us, how it was, like, you're in the correctional facility, right? What was life like to you inside the correctional facility, and how did it affect you emotionally, mentally, and socially? Because I believe when you went there, you met other people, right, inside.
Yeah.
So how was life inside the correctional facility? How was life? How does it feel to be there? And what challenges did you meet? What experience did you meet? The kind of people that you have encountered with there? How your mental health? How are you doing?
Maybe just to take us back. Okay. So on this point, the correctional facility in general is a good place, because it's meant to help people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a place to punish people. It's not meant to punish people or to
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossan Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
It's not meant to punish people or to destroy people, but it's meant to help people who have been found guilty by the court of law.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but otherwise, on my experience, I had both good moments and traumatizing or bad moments.
Mm-hmm.
So let me start with a good part. A good part is, I would say the Lord has been with me. Because when I went there, the first day, when I went there, I went in a cell, and in this cell, I found a guy that I knew from We schooled at the same school, but we were not in the same class. And this guy is quiet. He's notorious, but he's very quiet. He's the type of people getting always in the time of the passport. And he was also there for a murder case, just if I'm not mistaken. But he's a quiet person. And because he knew me from high school, Sheka Monanje, I also felt a bit safe. Yeah, so this guy showed me, like, where I can sleep. He gave me a lapi, and the other TV, and the other. And the next day, actually after 3 days, in our cell, okay, muna, for like since 1995, the Muongo case or something like that. So this big man, I don't know, they saw maybe something in me. They invited me into their cell. And in their cell, it's like, I'm going to touch your cell, I am now. So it was not really toxic. It was not that toxic. And I would say for me, that's the good part. Because I was not really exposed to so many dirty-minded convicts. However, on the bad side is every day you have to engage yourself with other inmates. Whether it's at the kitchen, kekulo, nengome corridor, nenge like, you need to engage with, you cannot say you will be alone forever. Like, you need to engage. Mm-hmm. And now, because you don't know the people, and the people, they have numbers, like, there's 26, 27, 28. And the people that you will stay with, mm-hmm. automatically you have to be part of that number.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 26, these are the guys that they are more focused on. They're actually good guys, but they like fights and...
Numbers, those numbers are located by the correctional facility officers or just numbers? Numbers?
These numbers are located by the convicts themselves, like it's like gangs.
You also got yours when you went there?
Not really,
or
because
it's not everyone.
I was not really aware of what to do, but indirectly I was, because that's where I even got my first tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And in most cases, even if you don't know, mm-hmm. once you get a tattoo, it means something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, one guy came in our shop, and this guy, he was very notorious and influential. And even the members, they used to, like, they are tired of him.
Mm.
He can do anything to them. It's like this guy is like the boss of the whole correctional facility.
Okay.
And then he used to ask me to do dirty things for him. And one day I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I won't continue anymore because he was threatening to expose what I'm, the favor that he's asking me. Like this favor, or on that specific favor, was like, because I can draw go persona.
Hmm.
And he asked me to draw a picture of two members. Members are now the correctional officers.
Mm-hmm.
A porn drawing.
A pornographic something.
Yeah, pornographic something.
Okay.
And then he was saying he will take it there and he will tell them that I'm the one who drew it.
Hmm.
So I took this paper, I teared it up, and then I threw it out the window. And this guy took a blade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where he took it from.
Okay.
But he made so many. And then he started... Like he was moving, like he wanted to cut me.
Okay.
And he even started cutting himself, like there was blood all over the soil. And so Simon Salamu no mona la akuru mene banone gwambayo asike.
Mbanombona kala mungambo.
Yeah. Ama munale lo ngele toti. Okay, so you or you get that, no, but like they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say it was just God intervention. This mm-hmm. guy didn't manage to cut me,
mm-hmm.
but it was like 99% possibility.
Okay.
And that was very traumatizing to
mm-hmm.
me. Emotionally, I felt like I could not handle it.
Mm.
And mentally, I did get a Bible when my mom would come and visit. So I decided I'm gonna read this Bible from Genesis, like from the very first page.
Mm.
To the last page, because it's like I had enough time. And mentally, I was supported by the word of God. So I actually did not break. And the fact that I could still continue with my studies,
mm-hmm.
I only used to do assignments, and I would be escorted by the members to the campus
mm-hmm.
to go and write my exams. That was mentally, I would say, I was too sick.
Okay. Cross, while we are still there, will you also share with us your experience? You know, things always look very different from every person have their view, right? They'll perceive according to how they see things and whatnot. Now, you being a student that is coming from the Krishna facility, going to write the exam in the uniform, in a handcuff, escorted by the Krishna facility officers, how do you feel about that? Especially also the engagement with the student, how does that make you feel?
You know, like right now, as I speak, there are probably my fellow students that we are in the same group that was like 2019. Mm. I'd say the 2020 class, the graduation for 2020 class.
Okay.
And they are probably listening to me now.
Mm.
They know, they were the ones that were more terrified.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because even when you are writing exams, I'm a class, it's not even compared to the one of police officers, like Namibian police.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are already labeled as a criminal.
Okay.
They used to fear me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how most of them think about me until today.
Mm-hmm.
And all my lecturers, they knew me since that period. And personally, me, I was just like, in my mind, I was just like, yo, I don't care anymore.
Okay.
So it was really a bad experience, especially on campus.
Because,
coming out of a van with handcuffs, and then you open the handcuffs in front of everybody. You won't really do it in front of everybody, but the people can see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so according to what you asked, it was a very bad it's a very bad thing.
Mm-hmm. One could really tell on how people always look at you. Yeah, we also see these things when someone just came from the Krishna facility, and then you look at them sometimes we see them, right, coming to, I think they are being escorted to come to the hospital.
To the hospital,
their uniform. Sometimes you look at them and you are scared and you don't even know what the person did. Or sometimes they also look at you and they'll just be wondering, you know, there is just that fear. Now imagine a fellow student looking at you in that uniform and the kind of a picture that they carry in their mind, you just be there, really. Maybe you can also share with us if, you know, when you're incarcerated, right, there will be moments, there will be some people, there will be some experiences that will just trigger you. So were there any specific moment or probably a person or an experience while you were incarcerated that triggered a change or transformation in you?
About a specific person, I would say I mentioned the one that I spoke of previously, the one that wanted to
cut me
in for it. And there were also people that I met, because then in there, I met one guy.
Mm.
His name is Dex Makuba. Mm. That's the guy I started. We started dancing there. We started singing there, like on occasions, because in the correctional facility, there are events. Sometimes there's a mental health day. Sometimes it's just a motivation. And that's where also I started moving to schools around Ondangwa, mm-hmm. and I also went to Osaka to Yonan campus, like to encourage people not to engage in certain activities or else they will be left. Their actions will lead them to a place like this.
Mm.
So, yeah, I met Dex and we were singing, and somehow, you know, I feel like, because for him, I don't think he had the intention to change.
Mm.
He was just more focused on music, and music, depending on the type of music that you do, it comes with a certain lifestyle.
Mm, mm.
And he used to sing with this guy, Kaboy Kamakiri.
Mm.
I'm not throwing shades, but their lifestyle is not a lifestyle that would keep you out of prison. It will not keep you on a good side. It doesn't give you a good image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been bolanified. Like, boring day at the spani, bolanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich, bolanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Bolanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Bolanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Village.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, in short, so those were some of the two people that I met. And then the ones who transformed me in a good way, I would say it's the members. Like, in the like of a member, his name is Jeremiah Vinko.
Mm.
He really helps offenders to see purpose in themselves, to give back in a positive way to the youth, especially those that are in high schools.
Mm.
And yeah, so the members gave me hope that if I go out there, I can impact lives. I can become a better person.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Cross, I know you said you served 14 months, right? Was it 14 months?
Yeah, yes. 14 months.
Yes. Maybe can you also share with the audience the most important lesson you walked away with from the time you have served in the correctional facility? What was the most important lesson that you just have to walk away? You carried it, you have learned it there, and then you have to walk away with it when you left the correctional facility.
Okay, the most important thing that I've taken from there is that life is so unpredictable.
Mm.
And it's like you can find yourself in such a place, whether you are guilty or innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Because that important thing that I took out from it was not actually just about me. It was about the observation of people coming in with different cases, people coming in and they tell you what really happened, but they were totally not involved.
Mm.
So I just took out something that life is really unpredictable, and like we need to take it easy on people.
Mm.
You can't label somebody a criminal just because they were incarcerated.
Mm.
You can't deny somebody an opportunity just because they were incarcerated. Because even you who are denying somebody that opportunity, you can end up there. I was having a conversation with a guy, and that guy was a manager.
Hmm.
He came to the correctional facility. He's a very, very good. He's one of those guys that if you look at him, you will conclude that this is a person that can even fall into sodomy. Like the guys, the 28 gang,
hmm.
they can sodomize him.
Hmm.
And he was telling me that, not actually me, but he was just talking like now he understands that it's actually not good for an employer to deny somebody a job just because they were there. Because he used to do it. So come on, which one of the questions are convicted,
without even not knowing their story or the condition
there is no time for finding out.
Mm.
Yeah. So I came out with that point that life is really unpredictable and we should take it easy on our fellow brothers and sisters.
Mm. Okay. Cross, you have shared with us that one of the experiences you have seen that life is really unpredictable. What happens to me can also happen to you in any other way. It shouldn't have to be exactly like how it happened to you.
Yeah.
Like anything can just happen. And when you were there, you listened to a lot of stories, right? People sharing how they ended up in correctional facilities. Some they were guilty, some they were not, some they are just involved, some are mistakes. When you are now reflecting to what you did and you are listening to their stories, how did you feel about that? How did you reflect on the crime that you were convicted for? Like, how did you reflect on your own conviction? Just thinking of, no, you were just intoxicated, you were drunk and your phone broke and you were vulnerable, and later you just told yourself like, no, I also not leave this place with my phone. My phone also just got broken. And I know you were not by yourself because you were drunk, right? You spent the whole night, morning in the club. Now reflecting, because I believe by the time you were in the correctional facility, you are back to your senses. It's like now you're trying to figure out, how did I let myself here? Like, with just this phone thing is the one that led me here. How were you feeling? What were you thinking when you were reflecting on your own case?
Okay, I was very, I was guilty.
Mm.
I felt guilty. I was ashamed of myself.
Mm.
And I was regretting every moment I took a cup of alcohol in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I was thinking when I was there, I had a book, and in that book, I wrote all the things that I want, that I'm going to do when I'm released.
You wrote that book while you were in the correctional facility?
Yes.
Okay.
I had everything, like I was telling myself, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to be chilling at past. I'm not going to go back to the people that I called my friend.
Mm.
Because mind you, okay, maybe they didn't know, but nobody came to visit me besides besides my mother. And that time I had a girlfriend, and she also came to visit me here and there, but I don't know what she had. I was just like, from here, I'm going to be serious with my life, take care of my child, take care of my girlfriend. And at some point, she stopped coming, actually. I think she got tired. Because even when I was released, until today, that lady, I never saw her, since I was released. Because the day I was released, when I called her, she said, I found somebody else.
Okay.
And I was... But otherwise, I was full of condemnation. I was condemning myself. I was angry at myself. But I gave myself a plan of what am I going to do after I'm released. Because I even used to attend church there in the facility where our fellow members are preaching to us. We used to read the Bible. So it was not really, it was not so negative. Mm. There was at least hope. There was at least hope.
Interesting.
I
know you have been praying that your release day should be fast approaching because you want to receive your own freedom.
You are right. You are right.
You want to receive your own freedom. You want to be free. You want to go home. You want to start a new chapter, a new page, a new life. You want to accomplish the plans that you wrote in that book. So I want you to share with us how you felt the day of your release, you returning home, you returning or getting back your freedom, and you facing, the outside world again. How did you feel? How was that day when you were just told, Cross, tomorrow you are going home? And believe me, you getting back your freedom, you are also facing the world outside. People here with their own expectations, with your own expectations. How did you feel about that day?
Yo. Okay, I would say that, to be honest, I fought for my release.
Mm.
Because I remember I said, from 3 years, I got 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on those 18 months, in the 10th month to 11,
mm-hmm.
they started calling me for meetings for parole.
Mm.
And on those meetings, they will ask you, about your lifestyle. Why do you think you committed that crime?
Mm.
And according to the questions they were asking me, because I've really been an alcoholic.
Mm.
I would drink to a point where I don't even know what I'm doing. And that crime that I committed, it was not my first crime.
Mm.
So it was just the one that led me there.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that I don't deserve parole.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm a good guy, my lifestyle does not allow me to go back home early, but I must stay there and then get some programs again.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to explain to them that I've actually changed. I've already learned so much for that period, and until it was approved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the day I was released, before that day, and when you are told that your day, you can't tell anybody.
Okay.
You can't tell anybody that you are leaving, mm-hmm. because if you tell them, there are those that will try and make you do something bad. Especially when you are going for parole.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do something bad, they will maybe just make you get into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Or they will tell the members that you got a tattoo while you are there because you are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything. They can even hide some, some illegal stuff in your on your bed, in your stuff, so that you stay, because it's like there's that thing, nobody wants the other one to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll be like, yeah, I want you to go, but it's not really the case.
Mm.
However, I was excited to go back home,
mm-hmm.
but I was also afraid of how people are going to look at me.
Mm.
And how the world is going to be, how the world is going to treat me now that I just got released, and obviously I have some criminal records.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really like a both side feeling.
Mm, so
I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
I got home.
Mm. So as much as you were excited about your release, you were also, you know, you also had fear, like,
yeah.
how will people welcome me? How does it feel to be back home? Conviction, asking yourself questions whereby no one can even give you accurate answers or answers that you really need to hear. Maybe you can also just continue to share with us the day you got home. How did your family receive you, your friends, the community after your release, and how that impacted your reintegration when you're just back?
Okay, when I was released, when I came back, I realized the world didn't change.
Okay.
Like the world outside the facility,
mm-hmm.
it didn't change.
Okay.
I came home at my mother's house,
mm-hmm.
and I just stayed indoors. The first person I called was my girlfriend.
Mm.
When I called her, so I told her I'm home,
mm-hmm.
And then she just said, okay, let me call you later.
Okay.
I called her later, she said she was busy. I called her the next day, and she was just acting, you could tell that it's somebody who doesn't want anything to do with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, until today, I never saw that lady anymore.
Okay.
So, according to the how I was accepted, that was already a bad, like I was not welcome anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My father, my biological father,
mm-hmm.
this man disowned me.
Okay.
He disowned me. And people say, like, they call it lungus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he told the whole village,
okay.
how I am, and you know when you have people who talk,
mm-hmm.
they will even say things that you did not do.
Mm-hmm.
My uncles, my aunts, I didn't even hear from those ones because not even when I was there. I didn't even hear my mom saying, no, one of your uncles called and he was asking how you are doing,
mm-hmm.
or he told me that at least you must like try to just get your life together, or maybe nothing. So basically it was just my mother who just grieved with me.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point she just, she started helping me to grow closer to God,
mm-hmm.
through linking me to pastors, different churches,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. So I would say I was accepted, I was welcome back, but I don't really know what is still in the hearts of the people, or mm-hmm. what was in the hearts of the people. But you can really feel the tension.
Okay.
Okay.
But
yeah, it was not really good.
Okay. While we are still there, you have mentioned that even if you are with people, you can't really engage as freely as you want. It's like something is holding you back. It's like something has locked you in a cage, in a corner. Yes, you are physically free, but it's like something is still just holding you back. When do you remember, or how should I say this? When do you remember you being free, like free from everything, free from guiltiness, free from like you forgiving yourself, you setting yourself free within your heart and your spirit? When did you receive that freedom? Like that's for you to, when you have just realized that I took my life back. Right now I'm on a right track, and I'm doing this for me, and I've accepted what I went through. I've accepted the mistake that I did. It's like I'm giving myself another chance again. It's like, when was that day when you just realized that, no man, I need to be free. Free, running away. I mean, when I don't need to be worried about the stigma anymore, what people will say about me. When did you receive that freedom that came from you, yourself, and then you have to step ahead for yourself?
So, okay, before I say that, man. After my release, that was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's the year I graduated also.
Okay.
But it was already Corona. It was already Corona.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, I'm not mistaken, it was through that period.
Mm.
So, from that period, I have still been struggling to put all the plans that I had for myself into action.
Mm.
And until, like, after so many attempts, I was introduced to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And this church is in Okatana.
Mm.
It's for Pastor Peter.
Okay.
I'm not even afraid of saying his name.
Mm-hmm.
The first day I went to that church, this man of God, he prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And since that day, I felt, like when I went to sleep, I felt relieved, because I didn't used to sleep in the night. Mm-hmm. I used to have so many nightmares, dogs chasing me, snakes. I would always dream like I'm in a building where I can't get out. It was like a prison. So spiritually, I felt like a relief. And since that day, I started meeting, not all of them, but good people.
Mm.
And to a point where I met, I got into encounter with a foundation, and this foundation is called Second Chance Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that also made me to understand that there are people out there,
mm-hmm,
who care for ex-convicts, because the foundation is focused on ex-convicts.
Okay.
Yeah, where they want to restore their hope, they want to link them to opportunities. And this foundation, it sponsored me with the amount of money for me to revamp a barbershop that I was running.
Mm-hmm.
And from that period, because it's not just, it started somewhere, but from that period until now, I can say I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
I have hope, I have faith,
mm,
and I don't drink anymore. I don't have an irresponsible lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is perfect, really,
mm-hmm,
but I am I am somebody who, like, even if the way I'm telling my story now, there are people who can confirm. The guys I used to stay with, they will tell you, ah, that guy, we don't know him anymore. There was a day where I was hearing one guy talking. He was like, I went there and he was telling his friend, he was like, ah, Cross, we don't know this guy anymore. This guy became a pastor. He doesn't have information about me, but it shows that wherever they used to be, they used to talk about me, and they, because they don't see me anymore, they have concluded that if I'm not a pastor, maybe I'm a witch doctor, or maybe I'm wild. I don't know. So since that day until today, I have hope, and that is the reason why I even got this opportunity to come on air and at least express or share my story. So it's the church, it's God, it's God. And I also really appreciate the Second Chance Foundation, because this foundation is still active, existed, and I'm a member. I'm a member. We go to schools. I tell them my story again, and we encourage them not to engage in, you know, boys, you know, number one in school, we have peer pressure, especially with social media. At the end of the day, is like in a space where there's nothing you cannot do. But if it's not going into prostitution, you will start stealing or robbing or lying. That's okato, or just a beggar. Always just the one asking, give me. So I tried to put it in a way that somebody would understand.
You're really, I love how you press the button of, it's like God is the center of your life, and that is how you received your transformation. That is how you found yourself. That is how you came back and just decided, like, no, I think I need to be a new person. This is not me. I can't be this person. And also how you have tried to reach out for assistance from other nonprofit organizations, from people who genuinely really support you and want the best for you. Maybe you can also share with us other opportunities and challenges that have shaped your journey and what you are doing now to rebuild and just move. Because I believe right now you are a great man. You are a man that is, you, because from the beginning you mentioned that you are a businessman, you are doing your businesses, you are also mentioned that you are a man of God, you are an atheist, you are an author, you wrote a book. I'm just like, there are people out there who will underrate people according to their stories or according to their past. You now, can you also maybe share some of the opportunities apart from the one that you have already mentioned, or maybe some of the challenges that have shaped your journey? Because believe me, even myself, I would say for me to be where I am today, or for me to be a person that I am today, for me to be proud as I'm seated here in this studio this Sunday, I would say I face challenges. I fought battles. Maybe you can also share with us your journey, you know, those challenges, those opportunities that have really, 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 really shaped your journey, shaped the person that you are today, and what you are currently doing just to rebuild your life. Because I am sure, for as much as you are doing good, you don't want to be there forever. What are you doing right now?
Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Penny.
Mm-hmm.
So just because of time, because I don't really have so much time left anymore.
Okay.
I need to go somewhere now, but I'll try to be as brief as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So as a normal person, I faced so many challenges, mm-hmm. and maybe one thing I would like to say about challenges is, because now my mind is more shifted on how people think about life and how people look at the world.
Mm.
So the sad truth is that it's not greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not always green on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
To the listeners out there, you are facing challenges and you feel like you are tired of living, you want to commit suicide, something that I also thought of.
Uh-huh.
You've tried and everything is just falling apart and what, like, so many challenges and you are tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what is happening even in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's also happening in your life, Mepeni.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
And I believe it's also happening in your life, Mepeni.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have challenges everywhere. So even if I have to mention them, it's not going to change the fact that we will continue facing challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage somebody to say, let's identify whatever we are going through,
mm-hmm.
and give it in the hands of God,
mm-hmm.
through prayer. And if you say you have prayed, but you don't really believe in the faith that you have,
mm-hmm.
talk to somebody that you trust. Maybe you can talk to a family member who's member of Onkwanezima, who's a high congregation member, and or a hoko on a ramonia, something God that encourages you about her, and then you can ask her to take you there so that you pray together with that man of God.
All right.
That's about challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And about what I'm doing now, I have a story.
Mm-hmm.
My life is a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that I can sell currently.
Mm.
It's like my best seller,
mm-hmm.
as I speak.
Mm.
I had the first, I wrote the first edition of my book, and it's titled My Testimonies Continue.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a preview of where I really came from. But this book is more spiritual,
mm.
because it speaks more about how I suffered through my dreams,
mm.
when I used to sleep,
mm-hmm.
and until a certain point where I came.
Mm.
But I'm still working on something very, very, very special,
mm-hmm.
a very powerful book,
mm-hmm.
that will help so many people here in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say my current title is I'm a multi-skilled freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would say I'm an ice boy.
Okay.
So I do transport and errands,
mm-hmm.
where I'll drive somebody somewhere, or I'll do deliveries, or maybe if you want me to do a light shopping for you, like errand running,
mm-hmm.
or maybe to drop your document somewhere, or small items, courier, you want something to be taken to Nampost, or maybe it's going to Windhoek and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm a tech support. I do Windows activation for computers and installations. Especially many of the people have their computers, and at the bottom there it's written, activate your Windows. So I can fix that, and I do troubleshooting and repairs, and also general tech assistance.
Okay.
The third thing that I do is I do grooming and branding. And what I mean by grooming is I do haircuts, like a barber shop, but it's currently mobile, where I do have a physical barber shop. It's at home in a Vululuko, behind the Swapo office. But I also do mobile haircuts. I'm a really good barber, so if you want to try me and you have a little boy who is at home, you can invite me for that boy, and then you will see first. Because something I know about us guys, we are loyal when it comes to our barber. So it's a bit hard for you to get new clients. I also do graphic designing, like logos, posters, and business cards. I have a clothing brand. It's titled On the Shoulder. It's also linked to a song that I did. It has a music video on YouTube. If you just search Cross Calvary Official on the Shoulder, and then you will get the whole concept of my story. Like, it's like my story, but in the form of a song. I do basic photo touch-ups, like for editing now, that's in a form of graphic designing. I also write CVs for people. I do business proposals. Like, I remember I did a business plan for, I don't know if she's comfortable me saying it, the Salimi Gerard Foundation. I created the Salimi Gerard Foundation logo and business plan, and she's one of the clients that was really satisfied. But among her, there are still many more that are supporting me in that way. I do assignments, not really like loyal clients, but just when somebody, especially for those who are doing part-time, and maybe just a once-off thing. And I also write formal letters and applications. And lastly, I do events and community support services, like public speaking or MC hosting. As I said, I'm a recording artist, but now my music is more on encouraging people. Like, it's a real life based music. It's not music for you to be dancing to, really. It's music that you can dance to it, but it's meant to encourage you or empower you. I do counseling, I do encouragement, like the way I'm doing now, and I didn't want to forget this. I got an opportunity from NetBank to do funeral covers for people, and yeah, it's something that I started out, but seems like people don't really want funeral covers, but yeah, we are going with it. So I put all of this together, because there's really nothing specific that I do. I'm not employed anywhere permanently. So these are all of the things that I do.
One would literally listen to this story and say, this is the job of all things that you keep hearing.
So I just try to put to together everything that I do. I actually have a flyer for this.
Okay.
And I'll share it, but somehow it's like people don't really have the energy to read, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm with my HR degree. Mm-hmm. I'm still seeking for employment.
Okay.
And it's not that I just want to be an HR mm-hmm. admin. I can start off anywhere.
Okay.
So I'm in a position where I would appreciate support.
Mm-hmm.
If it's maybe like if there's any businessman out there who is a I can start off as a cleaner. I can start off as a security guard. I can start off as anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm in a position where I just want the good for especially youth, like for them not to be just sitting at bars, just gossiping, just planning on how to get so many girls, or it's like in Miki Day Tunguma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The cross, we have really came to the, we are really approaching the end of our story. Maybe, you know, the reason why we have the Ex-Convict Diaries program, it's because we want to share real life stories, right, as you did right now. We want to reduce the issue of recidivism. People coming from correctional facilities, offending, go back, come back, going back, come back. Now, if one have to listen to your story, believe me, people are there. Other ex-convicts are there listening to your story, and they'll be wondering, Cross that went to the correctional facility. And now as we are speaking, he's the one that is on the radio telling us ABCD, telling us about his story, telling us about what he's currently doing, how he's thriving. Because one could literally tell that Cross decided to take another path of transformation and is really doing well. What message do you have to these people? Because some of the people are back, but they gave up on life. It's like there is life don't mean anything to them anymore. It's like nothing makes sense to their lives anymore. You now being an ex-convict and you know how God graced you with the life that you currently have, and it's also the choice that you made for yourself, like, no, I don't want to go back to my vomit. I don't want to be that cross anymore, right? What message you have for them?
What I would say to them is that Cross is really the person that he just spoke about now.
Hmm.
And sometimes Cross looked like he have it all together,
mm-hmm.
like you are inspired by how he has been, maybe like for those who knew me from high school, because generally I'm smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be people who have expected me to be at somewhere better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is We all need opportunities. We all need money.
Mm-hmm.
But what you really need is your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is now my encouragement. What you really need is a peace of mind.
Okay.
What you really need is to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be true.
Okay.
Don't try and show a life that you cannot afford, or a life that you are not really living. Don't try to be like people that you are maybe seeing on social media or the ones that you schooled with. Don't be afraid to ask for an opportunity from somebody who was in your class, because you feel like they will despise you, or they will laugh at you. Or let's just take life easy
and And to the ex-convicts who are listening?
Yeah, okay. This is on a general level.
Mm-hmm.
So for ex-convicts, people are going to label us the way they want,
mm-hmm.
in the way they feel. But it's also on us to prove to ourselves and to prove to the community that we are willing to change,
mm-hmm.
and we are willing to accept their support. Because what I've noticed for most ex-convicts is they've given up.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like people are no more going to change the way they look at them.
Mm-hmm.
So they find themselves re-offending because they're like, I was in prison, in the disiramo, namo muneka anu. So I can still repeat the same thing and go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still be eating my pap, even though, like, they don't have that hope anymore. So let us try to prove to ourselves. Let us do something small.
Mm.
Let us learn to work for ourselves. Let us avoid fights.
Mm-hmm.
You will fight somebody.
Mm-hmm.
In short, and one thing I would say is there's also like for the second foundation now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I will give out my number,
mm-hmm.
and then if there are ex-convicts out there, they can reach out to me.
Okay.
And then we can also like we create a community for them.
Okay.
And we will see how we will improve our lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can be in front of them,
mm-hmm.
and then they will follow my footsteps because I am not going back in. I'm not going back to my vomit.
Okay.
So I am confident and proud to say once they call or they come to the foundation,
mm-hmm.
we sit with them, we talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll see how we will make life a better place for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the families, please let us not label these people as the devil.
Okay.
They are not the devil. They are not Satan.
Mm-hmm.
They are probably going through certain things that they can't explain, and the way you treat them, they will never open up to you.
Okay.
And once they commit suicide, you start saying, "Oshikeni na popiane, oshikeni, oshikeni," but or say itatu ya patu mize omitonjono opoya kale twinde kela ya popiana.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Cross.
All right. Thank you, Miss Penia Beko Jonas.
You are welcome. Dalupe
Jonas.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, lengira soma, kodarahe tatuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oambiaji. Eagle FM, go high.
Beautiful audience, I told you that this Sunday I'm in the studio with Cross Calvary on the Ex-Convict Diary program, and I'm sure you are there waiting to hear stories of on this program, and I'm very excited to have Mr. Cross in the studio today. Maybe from the beginning here, Mr. Cross, welcome in the studio, and feel free. The audience on board waiting to hear from you. Maybe from the beginning, who just want you to greet the audience and just briefly explain yourself, or probably just introduce yourself to the audience.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Pele Mbekojana.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to also thank Eagle FM for this opportunity. It's really something that has been missing, but it has been needed, and I believe the community will look at humanity, will look at ex-convicts. The community will look at us in a much different way. So thank you very much to all the listeners. Yeah, my name is Cross Calvary Nilenge, as it was mentioned. I am an ex-convict. I was convicted for a case of robbery. I am a member of the Second Chance Foundation, where I really found so much strength and also an opportunity to impact other people's lives, especially young people, but maybe I'll talk about that later. I'm an unemployed graduate. I graduated in 2020, that's human resource management. And yeah, I'm also a businessman. I'm a man of God. I would say I'm a good person.
All right. Mr. Cross, while you are there, yes, you have mentioned that you are an ex-convict and you wanted to go into details of what, the crime that you were convicted for and whatnot. Maybe while we are still there, can you take us back to your life before incarceration? Maybe just to briefly explain to the audience of what crime led you to conviction and how long you served in the correctional facility, which correctional facility were you in? And yeah, can you just maybe briefly explain to us?
Okay. Okay, yeah, I can do that, because I'm very open about my past. Now there's nothing that I hide, because I've changed, okay? And I will not really say everything I used to do it because I want, but at least I believe my story can help somebody, it can encourage somebody. So to take you back a little bit, in 2017, after so many things that have been going on in my life, I enrolled at IUM on the Diva campus. And that was my first year. And then 2018 was my second year. Now, because of, life pressure, and I come from a very humble house, my mother, who has raised me as a single parent, she tried to give me food, shelter, and all the basic needs, but as a young man, I was not satisfied. And I engaged myself in wrong friends. And this is what led me to drinking, smoking, because of peer pressure now. And I can really, really say that that lifestyle, if you are the type of person who likes grooving or like going to clubs or going to parties or drinking or smoking, then you will end up in in incarceration. Mm. That's not what it means, but it has a high chance. It was the main cause. Mm. So before then, I used to drink, I used to smoke, and then I wanted now to also get me income to sustain my lifestyle. And this income, I did not have a job, I was still a student, and my family member cannot finance this lifestyle. Mm. So I started doing petty crimes, like I would lie to maybe my family member that I have to buy this, I have to do submit this and whatnot. Sometimes I'll go to shops and then I'll steal, like shoplifting, they're just to fit in. That's a bit of my past, or like a bit of taking you back before incarceration, and then also just explaining what led me to conviction.
Okay.
Now, on one specific day, this is now when you ask of what led me to my conviction.
Like, what exactly did you do?
So on one specific day, I went out drinking as usual, and I stayed up late. And I remember there was one guy that I lapi monongana and moko grova mono yene landi for a pangwe. And then we went, we smoked, we were high, but to chikirenga le to remain in the main in the mono. She will get the poor man like pay 3 days. Gandhi kids are lecturer and lecturer and don't know the Dakarali and did book a finance as she like and the Nosushi Mariamos. My friend, Candy Sharp or Anjong Gondi and Dunigongi. Never call and the Polakonda by Sashandi Monica Moklas. And then
Let me hold you there. So meaning you stayed out late in the bar until 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
All right.
And then I grabbed that lady and then put her more chops. And he goes to the police station and he goes to the court. Shidakokota, I pleaded guilty, Kanandelewa, the police, the chick, Popokucho Nonjo, or Peke, who are monopententa, Yafa, on the support of Shiskaya Kasimin Nonji. And then, it was my first time.
Mm-hmm.
I pleaded guilty when I went to court, and they gave me 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
When they gave me 3 years, they gave me an opportunity.
So let me hold you the cross. So when you went to court, so the police officers are the ones that advised you to plead guilty.
Yes. Okay. I was guilty, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But the police officers,
mm-hmm,
also advised me that I must plead guilty.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was the only way And that's why our policymakers, they are advising me not to listen to the people in there, but to actually plead guilty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I was given 3 years,
mm-hmm,
and then I pleaded to the judge because I was still a student, and somehow I was the only one at home who could support my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to chores, and I had a little girl at home, my child.
Mm-hmm.
She was also young, so I gave the reasons why I wanted them to reduce the sentence, and then it came to 18 months, which I said.
So they reduced from 3 years to 18 months?
Yeah, from 3 years to 18 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Olulo Correctional Facility, mm-hmm, and that's where I served my sentence. And I would say, because literally, mm-hmm, I'm not that type of person really that would just wake up and say, I'm going to rob or I'm going to steal. But I used to do these things when I'm under the influence,
mm-hmm,
or, yeah. So and then I was released on parole.
Okay.
So I only served 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took the 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. While we are still there, Cross, maybe you can also share with us, how it was, you were in the correctional facility, right? What was life like to you inside the correctional facility, and how did it affect you emotionally, mentally, and socially? Because I believe when you went there, you met other people, right, inside.
Yeah.
So how was life inside the correctional facility? How was life? How does it feel to be there? And what challenges did you meet? What experience did you meet? The kind of people that you have encountered with there? How your mental health? How are you doing? Maybe just take a break.
Okay. So on this point, the correctional facility in general,
mm-hmm,
is a good place because it's meant to help people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a place to punish people. It's not meant to punish people or to destroy people, but it's meant to help people who have been found guilty by the court of law.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but otherwise, on my experience, I had both good moments and traumatizing or bad moments.
Mm-hmm.
So let me start with a good part.
Mm.
The good part is, I would say the Lord has been with me.
Mm.
Because when I went there, the first day, when I went there, I went in a cell, and in this cell, I found a guy that I knew from Osaka. Like we schooled at the same school, but we were not in the same class.
Mm.
And this guy is quiet. He's notorious, but he's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He's the type of people and he was also there for a murder case.
Mm-hmm.
Just if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
But he's a quiet person. And because he knew me from high school, I also felt a bit safe.
Mm.
Yeah, so this guy showed me like where I can sleep. He gave me a lapi and the other baby and the other. And the next day, actually after 3 days, in our cell, for like since 1995, the Muongo case or something like that. So this big man, I don't know, they saw maybe something in me.
Mm-hmm.
They invited me into their cell.
Mm.
And in their cell, it's like Ngorotocho or cell I naubu. So it was not really toxic. It was not that toxic.
Mm.
And I would say for me, that's the good part. Because
mm-hmm.
I was not really exposed to so many dirty-minded convicts.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the bad side is every day you have to engage yourself with other inmates.
Yeah.
Whether it's at the kitchen, kekulo, nengo me corridor, nengo, like you need to engage with, you cannot say you will be alone forever, like you need to engage.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because you don't know the people, and the people, they have numbers, like there's 26, 27, 28. And the people that you will stay with,
mm-hmm.
automatically you have to be part of that number.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 26, these are the guys that they are more focused on they're actually good guys, but they like fights and
numbers. Those numbers are located by the correctional facility officers, or just numbers?
These numbers are located by the convicts themselves, like it's like gangs.
You also got yours when you went there?
Not really,
or
because
not
I was
for
not
everyone.
Really, yeah, I was not really aware of
what
to do, but indirectly I was, because that's where I even got my first tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
In prison.
Okay.
Yeah. And in most cases, even if you don't know,
mm-hmm.
once you get a tattoo, it means something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So one guy came in our cell, and this guy, he was very notorious and influential. And even the members, they used to, like, they are tired of him.
Mm.
He can do anything to them. It's like this guy is like the boss of the whole correctional facility.
Okay.
And then he used to ask me to do like dirty things for him, And one day I stopped. Mm-hmm. I told him I won't continue anymore because he was threatening to expose what I'm, the favor that he's asking me. Like this favor, on that specific favor, was like, because I can draw a gold persona.
Mm.
And he asked me to draw a picture of two members. Members are now the correctional officers.
Mm-hmm.
But a porn drawing.
A pornographic something.
Yeah, pornographic something.
Okay.
And then he was saying he will take it there and he will tell them that I'm the one who drew it.
Mm.
So I took this paper, I teared it up, and then I threw it out the window. And this guy took a blade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where he took it from.
Okay.
But he made so many. And then he started, like he was moving, like he wanted to cut me.
Okay.
And he even started cutting himself, like there was blood all over the soil. And No, but like they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say it was just God intervention. This mm-hmm. guy didn't manage to cut me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like 99% possibility.
Okay.
And that was very traumatizing to
mm-hmm.
me. Emotionally, I felt like I could not handle it.
Mm.
And mentally, I did get a Bible when my mom would come and visit. So I decided I'm going to read this Bible from Genesis, like from the very first page to the last page, because it's like I had enough time. And mentally, I was supported by the word of God. So I actually did not break. And the fact that I could still continue with my studies,
mm-hmm.
I only used to do assignments, and I would be escorted by the members to the campus
mm-hmm.
to go and write my exams. And that was mentally, I would say I was too fit.
Okay, Cross, while we are still there, will you also share with us your experience? You know, things always look very different every person have their view, right? They'll perceive according to how they see things and whatnot. Now, you being a student that is coming from the correctional facility, going to write the exam in the uniform, in a handcuff, escorted by the correctional facility officers, how do you feel about that? Especially also your engagement with the student, how does that make you feel?
You know, like right now as I speak, there are probably my fellow students that we are in the same group with. That was like 2019. I'd say the 2020 class, the graduation for 2020 class.
Okay.
And they are probably listening to me now. They know, they were the ones that were more terrified.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because even when you are writing exams, It's not even compared to the one of police officers,
mm-hmm.
like Namibian police,
mm-hmm.
because they are already labeled as a criminal.
Okay.
And yeah, they used to fear me.
Mm-hmm.
Like even most, I don't even know how most of them think about me until today.
Mm-hmm.
And all my lecturers, they knew me since that period. And personally, me, I was just like, in my mind, I was just like, yo, I don't care anymore.
Okay.
So it was really a bad experience, especially on campus.
Mm.
And yeah, coming out of a van with handcuffs, and then he will open the handcuffs in front of everybody. You won't really do it in front of everybody, but the people can see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so according to what you asked, it was a very bad thing.
Mm-hmm. One could really tell on how people always look at you. Oh, yeah, we also see these things when when someone just came from the Krishna facility, and then you look at them in even what? Sometimes we see them, right, coming to, I think they are being escorted to come to the hospital.
To the hospital,
uniform. Sometimes you look at them and you are scared and you don't even know what the person did. Or sometimes they also look at you and they'll just be wondering, you know, there is just that fear. Now imagine a fellow student looking at you in that uniform and the kind of a picture that they carry in their mind, you just be there, really. Cross, maybe you can also share with us if, you know, when you're incarcerated, right, there will be moments, there will be some people, there will be some experiences that they'll just trigger you. So were there any specific moment or probably a person or an experience while you were incarcerated that triggered a change or transformation in you?
Okay, about a specific person, mm-hmm. I would say I mentioned the one that I spoke of mm-hmm, previously,
mm-hmm.
the one that wanted to
cut me
for that. And there were also people that I met, because then I met one guy.
Mm.
His name is Dex Makuba.
Mm.
That's the guy we started dancing there, we started singing there. Like on occasions, because in the correctional facility, there are events, sometimes there's a mental health day, sometimes it's just a motivation, and that's where also I started moving to schools around Ondangwa, mm-hmm. and I also went to Osaka to Yonam campus, like to encourage people not to engage in certain activities or else they will be led.
Mm.
Their actions will lead them to a place like this.
Mm.
So, yeah, I met Dex and we were singing, and somehow, you know, I feel like, because for him, I don't think he had the intention to change.
Mm.
He was just more focused on music, and music, depending on the type of music that you do, it comes with a certain lifestyle.
Mm, mm.
And he used to sing with this guy, Kaboy Kamakiri.
Mm.
I'm not throwing shades, but their lifestyle is not a lifestyle that would keep you out of prison. It will not keep you on a good side. It doesn't give you a good image.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, in short,
so
those were some of the two people that I met. And then the ones who transformed me in a good way, I would say it's the members. Like, in the like of a member, his name is Jeremiah Vinko.
Mm.
He really helps offenders to see purpose in themselves,
mm.
to give back in a positive way to the youth, especially those that are in high schools.
Mm.
And yeah, so the members gave me hope that if I go out there, I can impact lives. I can become a better person.
Mr. Cross, I know you said you saved 14 months, right? Was it 14 months?
Yeah, yes. 14 months.
Yes. Maybe can you also share with the audience the most important lesson you walked away with from the time you have served in the correctional facility? What was the most important lesson that you just have to walk away? You carried it, you have learned it, then you have to walk away with it when you left the correctional facility.
Okay, the most important thing that I've taken from there is that life is so unpredictable.
Mm.
And it's like you can find yourself in such a place, whether you are guilty or innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the important thing that I took out from it was not actually just about me. It was about the observation of people coming in with different cases, people coming in and they tell you what really happened, but they were totally not involved.
Mm.
So I just took out something that life is really unpredictable, and like we need to take it easy on people.
Mm.
You can't label somebody a criminal just because they were incarcerated.
Mm.
You can't deny somebody an opportunity just because they were incarcerated. Because even you who are denying somebody that opportunity, you can end up there. I was having a conversation with a guy, and that guy was a manager.
Mm.
He came to the correctional facility. He's a very, very good. He's one of those guys that if you look at him, you will conclude that this is a person that can even fall into sodomy. Like the guys, the 28 gang, they can sodomize him.
Mm.
And he was telling me that, not actually me, but he was just talking like now he understands that it's actually not good for an employer to deny somebody a job just because they were there. Because he used to do it.
Without even not knowing their story or the condition that the person...
There's no time for finding out.
Mm.
Yeah, so I came out with that point that life is really unpredictable and we should take it easy on our fellow brothers and sisters.
Mm. Okay. Cross, you have shared with us that you have shared with us that you know, one of the experiences you have seen that life is really unpredictable. What happens to me can also happen to you in any other way. It shouldn't have to be exactly like how it happened to you.
Yeah.
Like anything can just happen. And this is what, now when you were there, you listened to a lot of stories, right? People sharing how they ended up in correctional facilities. Some they were guilty, some they were not, some they are just involved, some are mistakes. When you are now reflecting to what you did and you are listening to their stories, how did you feel about that? How did you reflect on the crime that you were convicted for? Like, how did you reflect on your own conviction?
just thinking of, no, you were just intoxicated, you were drunk and your phone broke and you were vulnerable, and later and you just told yourself like, no, I'll also not leave this place with my phone. My phone also just got broken. What? And I know you were not by yourself because you were drunk, right? You spent the whole night, morning in the club. Now reflecting, because I believe by the time you were in the correctional facility, you are back to your senses. It's like now you're trying to figure out, how did I let myself here? Like, with just this phone thing is the one that led me here. How were you feeling? What were you thinking when you were reflecting on your own case?
Okay, I was very, I was guilty.
Mm.
I felt guilty. I was ashamed of myself.
Mm.
And I was regretting every moment I took a cup of alcohol in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I was thinking when I was there, I had a book, and in that book, I wrote all the things that I want, that I'm going to do when I'm released.
You wrote that book while you were in the correctional facility?
Yes.
Okay.
I had everything, like I was telling myself, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to be chilling at bars. I'm not going to go back to the people that I called my friend.
Mm.
Because mind you, okay, maybe they didn't know, but nobody came to visit me besides my mother. And that time I had a girlfriend, and she also came to visit me here and there, but I don't know what she had. I was just like, for me, I'm going to be serious with my life, take care of my child, take care of my girlfriend. And at some point, she stopped coming, actually. I think she got tired. Because even when I was released, until today, that lady, I never saw her, since I was released. Because the day I was released, when I called her, she said, I found somebody else.
Okay.
And but otherwise, I was full of condemnation. I was condemning myself. I was angry at myself. But I gave myself a plan of what am I going to do after I'm released. Because I even used to attend church there in the facility.
Mm.
Where our fellow members are preaching to us, we used to read the Bible. So it was not really, it was not so negative.
Mm.
There was at least hope. There was at least hope.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I know you have been praying that your release date should be fast approaching because you want to receive your own freedom.
You are right. You are right.
You want to receive your own freedom. You want to be free. You want to go home. You want to start a new chapter, a new page, a new life. You want to accomplish all the plans that you wrote in that book. So I want you to share with us how you felt the day of your release, you returning home, you returning or getting back your freedom, and you facing, the outside world again. How did you feel? How was that day when you were just told, like, Cross, tomorrow you are going home? And believe me, you getting back your freedom, you are also facing the world outside. People here with their own expectations, with your own expectations. How did you feel about that day?
Yo. Okay, I would say that, to be honest, I fought for my release.
Mm.
Because I remember I said, from 3 years, I got 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on those 18 months, in the 10th 10th month to 11th,
mm-hmm.
they started calling me for meetings. Meetings for parole.
Mm.
And on those meetings, they will ask you, like, about your lifestyle. Why do you think you committed that crime?
Mm.
And according to the questions they were asking me, because I've really been an alcoholic.
Mm.
Like, I would drink to a point where I don't even know what I'm doing. And that crime that I committed, it was not my first crime.
Mm.
So it was just the one that led me there.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that I don't deserve parole.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm a good guy, my lifestyle does not allow me to go back home early, but I must stay there and then get some programs again.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to explain to them that I've actually changed. I've already learned so much for that period.
Mm.
And until it was approved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the day I was released, before that day, and when you are told your day, you can't tell anybody.
Okay.
You can't tell anybody that you are leaving. Mm-hmm. Because if you tell them, there are those that will try and make you do something bad, especially when you are going for parole.
Mm-hmm.
For you to do something bad, like they will maybe just make you get into a fight,
mm-hmm.
or they will tell the members that you got a tattoo while you are there because you are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Or like anything, they can even hide some illegal stuff on your bed, in your stuff, so that you stay, because it's like there's that thing, nobody wants the other one to go.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll be like, yeah, I want you to go, but it's not really the case.
Mm.
However, I was excited to go back home,
mm-hmm.
but I was also afraid of how people are going to look at me.
Mm.
And how the world is going to be, how the world is going to treat me now that I just got released. And obviously, I have some criminal records.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really, a both side feeling.
Mm, so
I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
I got home.
Mm. So as much as you were excited about your release, you were also, you know, you also had fear, like,
yeah.
how will people welcome me? How does it feel to be back home? Conviction, you know, you just asking yourself questions whereby no one can even give you accurate answers or answers that you really need to hear. Maybe you can also just continue to share with us the day you got home. How did your family receive you, your friends, the community after your release, and how that impacted your reintegration when you're just back?
Okay, when I was released, when I came back, I realized the world didn't change.
Okay.
Like the world outside the facility,
mm-hmm.
it didn't change.
Okay.
I came home at my mother's house,
mm-hmm.
and I just stayed indoors. The first person I called was my girlfriend.
Mm.
When I called her, I told her I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just said, okay, let me call you later.
Okay.
I called her later. She said she was busy. I called her the next day, and she was just acting. You could tell that it's somebody who doesn't want anything to do with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, until today, I never saw that lady anymore.
Okay.
So according to the how I was accepted, that was already a bad, like I was not welcome anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My father, my biological father,
mm-hmm.
this man disowned me.
Okay.
He disowned me. And people say, like, they call it lungus. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he told the whole village how I am. And, you know, when you have people who talk,
mm-hmm.
they will even say things that you did not do.
Mm-hmm.
My uncles, my aunts, I didn't even hear from those ones because not even when I was there, I didn't even hear my mom saying, no, one of your uncles called and he was asking how you are doing,
mm-hmm.
or he told me that at least you must like try to just get your life together, or maybe nothing. So basically it was just my mother who just grade with me,
mm-hmm.
and that from that point she just she started helping me to grow closer to God,
mm-hmm.
through linking me to pastors, different churches, mm-hmm. and yeah. So I would say I was accepted, I was welcome back, but I don't really know what is still in the hearts of the people or mm-hmm. what was in the hearts of the people, but you can really feel the tension.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, it was not really good.
Okay. While we are still there, you have mentioned that even if you are with people, you can't really engage as freely as you want. It's like something is holding you back. It's like something has locked you in a cage, in a corner. Yes, you are physically free, but it's like something is still just holding you back. When do you remember, how should I say this? When do you remember you being free, like free from everything, free from guiltiness, free from like you forgiving yourself, you setting yourself free within your heart and your spirit? When did you receive that freedom? Like that's for you to, when you have just realized that I took my life back. Right now I'm on the right track and I'm doing this for me, and I've accepted what I went through. I've accepted the mistake that I did. It's like I'm giving myself another chance again. It's like, when was that day when you just realized that, no man, I need to be free. Free, running away. I mean, when I don't need to be worried about the stigma anymore, what people will say about me. When did you receive that freedom that came from you, yourself, and then you have to step ahead for yourself?
So, okay, before I say that, after my release, that was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's the year I graduated also.
Okay.
But it was already Corona. It was already Corona.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, I'm not mistaken, it was through that period.
Mm.
So, from that period, I have still been struggling to put all the plans that I had for myself
mm-hmm.
into action.
Mm.
And until, like, after so many attempts, I was introduced to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And this church is in Okatana.
Mm.
It's for Pastor Peter.
Okay.
I'm not even afraid of saying his name.
Mm-hmm.
The first day I went to that church, this man of God, he prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And since that day, I felt like when I went to sleep, I felt relieved because I didn't used to sleep in the night. I used to have so many nightmares, dogs chasing me, snakes. I would always dream like I'm in a building where I can't get out. It was like a prison. So spiritually, I felt like a relief. And since that day, I started meeting not all of them, but good people.
Mm.
And to a point where I met, I got into encounter with a foundation. And this foundation is called Second Chance Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that also made me to understand that there are people out there
mm-hmm.
who care for ex-convicts, because the foundation is focused on ex-convicts.
Okay.
Yeah, where they want to restore their hope, they want to link them to opportunities. And this foundation, it sponsored me with the amount of money for me to revamp a barber shop that I was running.
Mm-hmm.
And from that period, because it's not just, it started somewhere, but from that period until now, I can say I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
I have hope. I have faith.
Mm.
And I don't drink anymore. I don't have an irresponsible lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is perfect, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I am somebody who, like, even if the way I'm saying my story now.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who can confirm. The guys I used to stay with, they will tell you, ah, that guy, we don't know him anymore.
Mm.
There was a day where I was hearing one guy talking. He was like, I went there and he was telling his friend, he was like, ah, Cross, we don't know this guy anymore. This guy became a pastor. They're like, Nge, we don't know. Nge, kwa ninga ponganga wae. He doesn't have information about me.
Mm.
But it shows that wherever they used to be, they used to talk about me,
mm-hmm.
and because they don't see me anymore, they have concluded that if I'm not a pastor, maybe I'm a witch doctor, or maybe I'm wild, I don't know. So since that day,
mm.
until today, I have hope, and that is the reason why I even got this opportunity to come on air
mm-hmm.
and at least express or share my story. So it's the church. It's mm-hmm. God. It's God. And I also really appreciate the Second Chance Foundation, because this foundation is still active. It's just that and I'm a member.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a member. We go to schools. I tell them my story again. And we encourage them not to engage in, especially with social media. Yeah, and then that's the book picking up on me, Oscola, Italia, and now, at the end of the day, is like in a space where
mm-hmm.
there's nothing you cannot do, but if it's not going into prostitution,
mm-hmm.
it will start stealing or robbing or lying, that's Okato,
mm-hmm.
or just a beggar, always just the one asking, give me. So,
okay.
I tried to put it in a way that somebody would understand.
Mm, mm. You're really, I love how you press the button of, it's like you God is the center of your life, and that is how you received your transformation. That is how you found yourself. That is how you came back and just decided, like, no, I think I need to be a new person. This is not me. I can't be this person. And also how you have tried to reach out for assistance from other nonprofit organizations, from people who genuinely really support you and want the best for you. Maybe you can also share with us other opportunities and challenges that have shaped your journey and what you are doing now to rebuild and just move. Because I believe right now you are a great man. You are a man that is, you, because from the beginning you mentioned that you are a businessman, you are doing your businesses, you are also mentioned that you are a man of God, you are an artist, you are an author, you wrote a book. I'm just like, there are people out there who will underrate people according to their stories or according to their past. You now, can you also maybe share some of the opportunities apart from the one that you have already mentioned, or maybe some of the challenges that have shaped your journey? Because believe me, even myself, I would say for me to be where I am today, or for me to be a person that I am today, for me to be proud as I'm seated here in this studio this Sunday, I would say I faced challenges, I fought battles. Maybe you can also share with us your journey, you know, those challenges, those opportunities that have really, 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 really shaped your journey, shaped the person that you are today, and what you are currently doing just to rebuild your life. Because I am sure, for as much as you are doing good, you don't want to be there forever. What are you doing right now?
Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Penny.
Mm-hmm.
So, just because of time, because I don't really have so much time left anymore.
Okay.
I need to go somewhere now, but I'll try to be as brief as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a normal person, I faced so many challenges, mm-hmm. and maybe one thing I would like to say about challenges is, because now my mind is more shifted on how people think about life and how people look at the world.
Mm.
So the sad truth is that it's not greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not always green on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
To the listeners out there, you are facing challenges and you feel like you are tired of living, you want to commit suicide, something that I also thought of.
Uh-huh.
You've tried and everything is just falling apart and what, like, so many challenges and you are tired. Uh-huh. It's exactly what is happening even in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's also happening in your life, Mepeni.
Uh-huh.
Like, we have challenges everywhere. So
uh-huh.
even if I have to mention them, it's not going to change the fact that we will continue facing challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage somebody to say, let's identify whatever we are going through,
mm-hmm.
and give it in the hands of God,
mm-hmm.
through prayer. And if you say you have prayed, but you don't really believe in the faith that you have,
mm-hmm.
talk to somebody that you trust. Maybe you can talk to a family member who's number of onkwalezima who si kuta high kongereka onumbande or a hoko ongalamonye aeshi arunduka. But that means something God that encourages you about her, and then you can ask her to take you there so that you pray together with that man of God.
All right.
That's about challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And about what I'm doing now, I have a story.
Mm-hmm.
My life is a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that I can sell currently.
Mm.
It's like my best bestseller as I speak. I had the first, I wrote the first edition of my book, and it's titled My Testimonies Continue. This was just a preview of where, like where I really came from, but this book is more spiritual because it speaks more about how I suffered through my dreams when I used to sleep. And until a certain point where I came. But I'm still working on something very, very, very special. A very powerful book that will help so many people here in Namibia. And I would say my current title is I'm a multi-skilled freelancer. Somebody would say I'm an ice boy. So I do transport and errands where I'll drive or I'll drive somebody somewhere, or I'll do deliveries, or maybe if you want me to do a light shopping for you, like errand running, or maybe to drop your documents somewhere, or small items, courier, you want something to be taken to Lampost, or maybe it's going to Windhoek and stuff like that. And also, I'm a tech support. I do Windows activation for computers and installations. Especially many of the people have their computers, and at the bottom there it's written, activate your Windows. So I can fix that, and I do troubleshooting and repairs, and also general tech assistance. The third thing that I do is I do grooming and branding. And what I mean by grooming is I do haircuts. That's like a barber shop. But it's currently mobile, where I do have a physical barber shop. It's at home in a Vululuko, behind the Swapo office. But I also do mobile haircuts. I'm a really good barber. So if you want to try me and you have a little boy who is at home, you can invite me for that boy, and then you will see first, because something I know about us guys, we are loyal when it comes to our barber. So it's a bit hard for you to get new clients. I also do graphic designing, like logos, posters, and business cards. I have a clothing brand. It's titled On the Shoulder. It's also linked to a song that I did. It has a music video on YouTube. If you just search Cross Calvary Official On the Shoulder, and then you will get the whole concept of my story. Like, it's like my story, but in the form of a song. I do basic photo touch-ups, like for editing now, that's in a form of graphic designing. I also write CVs for people. I do business proposals. Like, I remember I did a business plan for, I don't know if she's comfortable me saying it, the Salimi Gerard Foundation. I created the Salimi Gerard Foundation logo and business plan, and she's one of the clients that was really satisfied. But among her, there are still many more that are supporting me in that way. I do assignments, not really like loyal clients, but just when somebody, especially for those who are doing part time, and maybe just a once off thing. And I also write formal letters and applications. And lastly, I do events and community support services, like public speaking, or MC hosting.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I'm a recording artist, mm-hmm. but now my music is more on encouraging people. Like it's a real life based music. It's not music for you to be dancing to. Really, it's music that you can dance to it, but it's meant to encourage you or mm-hmm. empower you.
Okay.
Yeah. I do counseling, I do encouragement, like the way I'm doing now, mm-hmm. and yeah. I didn't want to forget this.
Mm-hmm.
I got an opportunity from NetBank
mm-hmm.
to do funeral covers mm-hmm. for people. And yeah, it's something that I started out, but seems like people don't really want funeral covers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we are going with it. So I put all of this together.
Okay.
Because there's really nothing specific that I do. I'm not employed anywhere permanently. So these are all of the things that I do.
One would literally listen to this story and say, ah, this is the gem of all things
yeah,
that
yeah.
we keep here.
So I just try to put together everything that I do. I actually have a flyer for this.
Okay.
And I will share it, but somehow, it's like people don't really have the energy to read, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with my HR degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still seeking for employment,
okay.
and it's not that I just want to be an HR mm-hmm. admin. I can start off anywhere.
Okay.
So I'm in a position where I would appreciate support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's maybe like if there's any businessman out there who is a business, I can start off as a cleaner, I can start off as a security guard, I can start off as anything.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm in a position where I just want the good for especially youth, like for them not to be just sitting at bars, just gossiping, just planning on how to get so many girls,
mm-hmm.
or it's like in the make it a tumbuman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cross. Yeah. We have really came to the. I mean, we are really approaching the end of our story. Maybe, you know, the reason why we have the Ex-Convict Diaries program, it's because we want to share real life stories, right, as you did right now. We want to reduce the issue of recidivism. People coming from correctional facilities, offending, go back, come back, going back, come back. Now, if one have to listen to your story, believe me, people are there. Other ex-convicts are there listening to your story, and they'll be wondering, Cross that went to the correctional facility. And now as we are speaking, he's the one that is on the radio telling us ABCD, telling us about his story, telling us about what he's currently doing, how he's thriving. Because one could literally tell that Cross decided to take another path of transformation and is really doing well. What message do you have to these people? Because some of the people are back, but they gave up on life. It's like there is life don't mean anything to them anymore. It's like nothing makes sense to their lives anymore. You now being an ex-convict and you know how God graced you with the life that you currently have, and it's also the choice that you made for yourself, like, no, I don't want to go back to my vomit. I don't want to be that cross anymore, right? What message do you have for them?
What I would say to them is that Cross is really the person that he just spoke about now. And sometimes Cross look like he have it all together,
mm-hmm.
like you are inspired by how he has been, maybe like for those who knew me from high school, because generally I'm smart,
mm-hmm.
like I'm sharp,
mm-hmm.
And there will be people who have expected me to be at the, like, somewhere better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is we all need opportunities. We all need money.
Mm-hmm.
But what you really need is your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is now my encouragement. What you really need is a peace of mind.
Okay.
What you really need is to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be true.
Okay.
Don't try and show a life that you cannot afford, or a life that you are not really living. Don't try to be like people that you are maybe seeing on social media or the ones that you schooled with. Don't be afraid to ask for an opportunity from somebody who was in your class, because mm-hmm. you feel like they will despise you, or they will laugh at you. Or let's just take life easy and.
Mm-hmm. And to the ex-convicts who are listening?
Yeah, okay. This is on a general level.
Mm-hmm.
So for ex-convicts, people are going to label us the way they want,
mm-hmm.
and the way they feel. But it's also on us to prove to ourselves and to prove to the community that we are willing to change,
mm-hmm.
and we are willing to accept their support. Because what I've noticed for most ex-convicts is they have given up.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like people are no more going to change the way they look at them.
Mm-hmm.
So they find themselves reoffending because they're like, I was in prison, in the disyamu, namu muneka anu. So I can still repeat the same thing and go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still be eating my pap, even though, like, they don't have that hope anymore. So let us try to prove to ourselves. Let us do something small.
Mm.
Let us learn to work for ourselves. Let us avoid fights.
Mm-hmm.
You will fight somebody. In short, and one thing I would say is there's also like for the second foundation now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I will give out my number.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there are ex-convicts out there, they can reach out to me.
Okay.
And then we can also, like, we create a community for them.
Okay.
And we will see how we will improve our lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will follow my footsteps, because I am not going back in. I'm not going back to my vomit.
Okay.
So I am confident and proud to say, once they call or they come to the foundation,
mm-hmm.
we sit with them, we talk to them,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll see how we will make life a better place for all of us.
Okay.
And also for their families, please let us not label these people as the devil.
Okay.
They are not the devil. They are not Satan.
Mm-hmm.
They also need, they are probably going through certain things that they can't explain. And the way you treat them, they will never open up to you.
Okay.
And once they commit suicide, you start saying, Oshikeni na popiane, Oshikeni, Oshikeni, but or say itatuya patu omitonjono opoya kale twinekela ya popianas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Cross.
All right. Thank you, Miss Penny Ambeko Jonas.
You are welcome.
Dalupe Jonas.
Mm. Mm.